Jerry and I started off as creative collaborators, I'll say, around 2005 when I had a boutique. And from there, we had managerial sort of relationships. I worked on projects with Jerry, for Jerry. And I think that we were able to just sort of look at what we could do in terms of creating public art opportunities for him and heightening his kind of already rising fine art portfolio.
Now, he started off as a graffiti artist, correct?
Yes, yes, he did. He started off as a graffiti. I think he started off as an artist. I'm going to probably say that just even early. But he, in the 80s, he was very involved in the graffiti culture and lifestyle, and but also was doing textile art, you know, very early on, what people now are calling wearable art. He was sort of perfecting that arena very early in the 80s, and then got involved in the spoken word poetry scene. He's kind of a pioneer in that realm in the New Jersey and tri-state area, and then just sort of evolved into fine art arena.
Was he ever influenced by Basquiat?
Oh, yeah. What's interesting is, you know, one of the things that he kind of had the foresight, I guess, he recognized that there were some limitations in Newark in terms of what he was looking for in the 80s and as a young sort of artist kind of defining himself, starting to come into his own. So he started going into New York a lot, and he had opportunities sort of being in the same space with Basquiat and sort of meeting him and has had some personal interaction with him. And, you know, he really took that to heart. And so he was absolutely, you know, very, very influenced by Basquiat and what he was doing.
What was it about Jerry Gant that you found that you had to be a part of his life?
What a great and interesting question. It was almost immediate with Jerry, and I had just taken an early retirement from a 30-year corporate career, and I was sort of taking this leap of creative faith. And I would have to say, if you are that person that I was at that time, and you were taking this leap, I can't think of a better person to sort of grab hold hands with and jump than Jerry Gant. You know, he just had this freedom about himself. He knew that at his core he was an artist. He had an insatiable appetite to learn and know things and could do things just by studying and then doing. And he was genius in that sense. And I saw that, and I wanted that. When you come out of a corporate environment, you are, you know, the conformity and the constraints that you sort of are imposed just by the nature of that environment. Jerry was the anti that. And for me, it was just amazing to have that sort of connection. You know, it's very personal, an artist creating work and their process. So just to have that access and to see that at work and to learn more about that, the experience of an artist in just in their life, that was amazing. So I was drawn to his genius, to his energy, his creativity, his humor, you know, and just his sense of being free about who he was. And I knew that freedom, I guess they say freedom ain't free. You know, there's a price that you pay for that freedom, but he still pursued it anyway. And I think that was just a great attraction to me in terms of, wow, I want to be connected to this guy. This is great. Yeah.
We're speaking with Linda Street here on the WBGO Journal about the passing of Jerry Gant. Was there a particular piece or a particular project that was your favorite that Jerry did?
I'm gonna pick two, and one was the first one was the Nat Turner Park. You know, I don't know if you know, Nat Turner Park was it's actually the largest city-owned park in Newark, and I think it's 8 acres that was identified to be a park, and for 30 years it was not a park. So the Trust for Public Land and the city, and when they started this initiative, I think this is around 2008 or so, that we were working on that, Jerry got the opportunity to create sculpture for that park, and I was, you know, instrumental in working with him on making that happen and then executing it. And as a result, he has 13 metal sculptures that surround the park at each of the entrances. And they sort of tell the history of the influence of African Americans on music. And he managed to intertwine elements that related to the namesake, Nat Turner's life. So that was, I'm going to say, that was sort of the first major corporate public art commission that we received, and we're so proud for that to create something that he believed would outlast him. And I was proud to be a part of that. And then I think the second one, I think right behind that one, is an installation that we have at Newark Penn Station, which is right outside the station, and it is a 5-piece sculptural installation that helps to tell the story of Newark and its manufacturing history, its commuter history, and through his artwork interpreted in metal. And that was commissioned by New Jersey Transit. One of the really significant parts of his life was going back and forth through Penn Station, going, you know, into the city. So for him to have the opportunity to have work in that location, you know, that had its own significance for him. So, being part of that and working through that process in New Jersey Transit Arts Program, that was an awesome experience as well. I think those are my top two.
Speaking of parts of his life, you mentioned to me earlier this week about his children and his grandchildren. Can you talk about that?
Yes. He has, you know, it's funny, I think, because when a person becomes a public figure, I think like Jerry did, we see them in one context and we sometimes don't know about the person behind the personality. And, you know, he was really proud. He has two twin sons, Terrell and Jarrell Harris, and he has a beautiful daughter, Marissa Gant Monroe. And he has four grandchildren, and he was just really proud of them. And I don't know that, I think they're only now starting to be aware of the magnitude of the influence that their dad had and the person he was. So it's important for me for people to know that he had this family and that he loved them. And he always thought about what he was doing in the context of leaving a legacy for them, and it's something that they would be proud of and that they would be able to point to and said, our dad did that, or our grandfather did that, our Papa Jay did that. So, it's important for me to know that people know that they're out here in the world.
His father's death had an influence on him, obviously on most people, but for him particularly, right?
Yeah, it's funny. That was something that he started to talk more about in different interviews and actually even in performance pieces, just about his father's, battle with alcoholism and health issues related to that. And I think that's something that he, had fought hard to avoid in his own life.
So I know this would be a tough question to answer, but when you heard of his passing, what came over you?
Well, I was there. So immediate sadness. It had been, sadness, a bit of relief. You know, it had been a rough couple of weeks. Things happened very quickly, And I think I'm glad I was there. I felt sad. I felt relieved. I would never wanted to see him suffer. And, you know, Jerry had this really great sense of humor. He saw humor in absolutely everything, whether it was appropriate or not. And I could just and he was a person who acted on his own, under his own accord, I'll say. And I just imagine that only Jerry Gant could will himself off of life support onto a bed and then make an exit sort of on his own terms. He lived life on his own terms. And my first thought when he passed on Sunday, 11/11, was that he left here in the way that he lived, completely on his own terms.
And how long of a battle did he have with liver cancer?
He discovered that earlier this year, so it had been just a month throughout most of this year. He had been dealing with that.
We're speaking with Linda Street. Linda, I know that Jerry Gant had not only a show here at WBGO, a gallery. His radios that also are here as a permanent reminder of his work. What did the radio station mean to him?
He loved WBGO. He had a very close relationship with Darthon Kirk, who was there, and Darthon would have to fuss him out every so often about getting things done and doing some things that he was supposed to do, but you could see that there was love, and I think that it represented a sense of pride for him. First of all, he's a huge music buff, so just that kind of connection to WBGO, as the institution that it is, I think it just gave him such a sense of pride. He loved Newark, and I think that he loved the idea that these institutions around the city embraced him as well. So it was very special for him. And when he placed those radios there, I remember that. And it was just a huge source of pride. And he felt like he was an extension of the WBGO family.
Was there a particular artist that he would enjoy doing artwork to the sounds of his or her music?
You know, the one thing about Jerry is he listened to everything. And I think it goes back to the fact of this voracious appetite he had to know so much about so many things. I know that one of the memories that someone shared while one of the days we were at the hospital with him was that he had always had a love for the artist Sade, and somebody was playing Sade. And then another friend came in, a longtime friend of his came in and started playing some Public Enemy. And then I found a song that he sort of enlightened me to during some studio time years ago by Fontella Bass and Cinematic Orchestra. So, you know, it just ran the gamut for Jerry Gant. I don't think there's any way to singularly define him in any context. It was always from one end to the other, one extreme to the other with Jerry.
Linda Street, our condolences go out to you and the family of Jerry Gant, but thanks for taking some time to give us a better perspective on his artwork and his life right here on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.